welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Yeah, we have spaghetti. We have meatballs. They're fiddling with the knobs. Yes, babyface Joel Solomon will be back producing this mess right now. We have Scott the Grizz Holmes checking in and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss. What a weekend for the Mets. I know you're as excited as I am. Martin, you were in Vegas. I'm sure everybody huddled around the TVs at the MGM, right? Watching these Mets finish off the Braves 4 out of 5. Tell me the Vegas experience first, Martin, with the Mets and how everybody rallied behind them. I'm sure that's what happened, right?
I mean, I'll be honest. It was a work conference, so I wasn't watching too much baseball. But you did ask me what future bets I placed. And as soon as I landed, I took Dave Damashek's advice, which may never be good. I took the Mets to win the National League.
Whoa. Now, Sheck, I think you had them to win the World Series. I don't know why I accentuated world and World Series, but the World Series at plus 750. It's now down to 5-1. Am I right? Wasn't that your pick?
Yeah, well, obviously, it was more juiced up when I mentioned that. Yeah, I think the Metropolitans stand a pretty good chance of winning the World Series of Baseball this year. Listen, the main thing, like we talked about a fortnight or so ago, is that with Scherzer and DeGrom, and if they continue to look anything like they looked over the last weekend, egad, and also that, you know, 4 out of 5 against the Braves is humongous because beautiful. The thing that would get in their way, anybody else's way too, is having to participate in that one game playoff first. It screws up the order in which you stack your starting pitchers and all of that. As long as the Metropolitans avoid that, and it looks like they're tracking to do that, man, I know how well the Dodgers are playing, but what they can run out there with Scherzer, what he does in October, and then DeGrom, yikes.
It seems great. It really does. By the way, I think I let everyone down. It's no longer a one game playoff, right? It's 2 out of 3.
Oh, I know. I keep saying the one game.
No, it's my fault. It's 2 out of 3, but whatever. It's I'm not going to say it's the same. It's a little less unlucky that you have to get, but if you're the Padres right now, that means you're going to have to go against Freed on the Braves or Wainwright or someone like that. And then that could be one game down, whatever. It's a short series and one that the Mets would not, I'm not going to say I'm not worried, but taking 4 out of 5 from the Braves, I really think we're going to win the division. I could see us blowing it in the playoffs, but you are right, Sheck.
Sure. Look who's winning us in it. The man who made a documentary
this year.
Delay football by a month. Push it back. Cousin Sal says baseball's where it's at right now. Look at him. Look at him. He's a boy of summer. He's sun-baked. He's growing a beard, devil-may-care attitude.
What
screw
are we waiting
football,
for?
Football, says Sal.
Play the music. Spaghetti, meatballs. Play the music. Let's get this going. Let's play the Narcos music. This is Edwin Diaz entrance. Oh, my goodness. It's like from a movie. Let's get it. I'm singing around the house all day. Look at this. Look, he got his back. Oh, we're watching video of it now. Here it is. Little drum build up. This is exciting, Sheck. This is Pavlovian. It really is. Do you ever hear this? When I hear the horns, I'm like, oh, the Mets are about to win. That's what it means to me, right? Martin, when I was booking bets when I was in law school, if my pager would go off, I'm like, oh, I'm about to make money. You hear certain things and you associate them with victory. And this is one of them. Look at the fans are getting into it. This is terrific. And Sheck, it's a song. Go ahead, Martin. Yeah.
This is another thing that baseball gets absolutely right. The individual walk-up music, when deployed properly, like Enter Sandman for Mariano Rivera are right here, right now. It's like, oh, shit. The game's over. Here he comes.
Yeah. Look at Mr. and Mrs. Matt join. Look at even there in the celebration. It's terrific, Sheck. It really is. And by the way, it's a song from Narcos. Are you caught up on Narcos? Do you watch Narcos?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But
I've seen every episode.
Isn't it great, Martin? But really, if you think about it, it's like, okay, here's our closer. Hopefully he gets us out of the inning 1, 2, 3. And here's some accompanying music, which will remind you of villainous drug cartel murderers. So it's very strange, but I love it. I love it.
Oh, no, we're by the way, we're deep diving the Boys. We're blowing through have you watched this one?
Oh,
it's like,
I haven't.
bad guy, good guy, superhero kind of thing. It's fun. I like that. But no, I've not watched Narcos.
I mean, just the song should really bring you there. That's what you should need to do, Shaq. Especially
I can't help it.
I'm at 750.
Listen, my short attention span and otherwise requires me to ask, since I know we've had the conversation before, but refresh my memory. If you were a closer coming out of the pen or getting into the batter's box, what's Cousin Sal's
It's going to be... It's going to be disappointing to you, but probably working for a living from Huey Lewis in the News. I mean, that's what I came out to. When I wrestled, that was my song. That was my entrance song. So.
You had working for a living. Wait.
Yeah.
In the Go unitard, ahead. you came out there and working for a living.
I did. Well, God, what were you going with?
What kind of weird? Like, yeah, your foe was like, "What the hell is wrong with this weirdo?" Like
what kind of depressing White Stripes tune would you come out to? I'd love to hear this.
It wouldn't be some hipster song, as I've said before. It would be something to, I would use it to my advantage as a competitor. Mm-hmm. I would do You're Beautiful. That, you know, you're beautiful. I saw you with another man. Because
you're laughing and working for a living? Going with you're beautiful?
You're right. Because then I step into the bat. I say, whoa, I need a second here. Then I step out of the batter's box. Then I lock eyes with the pitcher. And then I saw you with another man, and I start mouthing the lyrics to him, like,
right.
"You're beautiful," like that, and just mouth real intensely. Now this guy doesn't know what to do. Four pitch balls, probably not. Just puts one right into my back. You know what?
Yeah, of course.
I take my base. That
yeah,
now
he knows what to do. You have to hope it's your back. It's probably your chin. I don't know which one, but yeah, he hits you in the chin. All right, Martin,
team guy.
What's your song, Martin?
Honestly, I'll bet that neither one of you have ever heard of it. But if you YouTubed it, it would Blood Pressure by Cassidy. It starts out with, of course. Yeah, it starts out with like a real hard rock tune and then goes, if I ever have like my own show type thing, that would be my intro. I just think it's one of the coolest like first 30 seconds of a song I've ever heard.
Because I'm working for a living.
That's right. There you go. Don't make fun. It'll be effective. Well, it's two different things. One, you're saying as a batter, but I do think it's more effective. I think half the battle's won with Edwin Diaz. It's, walking in from right center field and that music. Like the batter, like they don't even want to step up to the plate at that point. My God, the horns.
Two sides of the same coin. He's going narco to intimidate, and you are hard to take seriously out there. Like, well, how good could this guy be if he's playing a 1982 Huey Lewis in the News song, and before he knows it, three strikes. You know, sit
there
down
you go.
And think about it. Right.
Well, we'll see. I don't have to think about it. I already thought it through. But should he be carrying, like, guns and cocaine, and then the ball boy takes him from him as soon as he gets to the mound? I wonder. Just finish it off. No, these Mets are terrific. Meanwhile, Yankees, spaghetti, meatballs, not good. Swept by the Cardinals. I think they've lost like five in a row now. And I don't know what the Cardinals are now in first place in the NL Central. This is the first time spaghetti, a National League team, has ever swept the Yankees. I mean, I guess there's interleague's been going on for quite a while or for the long time. What since... In 15 years, something crazy, some kind of number. Go ahead. While I find that spaghetti.
That's true. I had no idea. I mean, look, you got to assume at some point they're going to have a little bit of a slump. Giancarlo Stanton not being back obviously hurts. The pitching being as bad as it has been a bit of a shock, especially since they made all those moves at the deadline, which is why they did make those moves, though, to bolster up that pitching staff. But, they're going to hit some speed bumps here and there, and they have a month to figure it out before, you know, the real competitive baseball starts. So I'm fine. I'm still cool, calm, collected.
All right. We don't like them like that, do we, Shaq? We don't like cool, calm, collected spaghetti, do we?
Listen, what we should all wish for is for the Yanks to play the Astros. Yankees fans get they leave the Bronx and ascend up to Mount Pius to get down on the Astros and assume the rest of baseball America is with them. Like, surely you're on the Yanks side, right, everybody? We all hate the Astros. Yeah, but... What they did was in the last 5 years. We've hated the Yankees for an entire lifetime. That's hard to choose for the rest of baseball.
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, really, it paid dividends with the Penguins Rangers. I'm hoping. I don't know how this would happen, but Pirates Yankees is what I'm rooting for if my Mets can't get there. Is there any
Pirates
chance?
Pirates already swept the Yankees. Oh, no, they swept the Dodgers. Never mind.
Speaking of a former Pittsburgh Pirate, We have to. I want to just take a moment to recognize Daniel Vogelbach going for first to home.
I saw that
we just take a moment and just comment on that big man moving that fast.
There's just so much to talk about between Scherzer and then DeGrom retiring the first 17 and Diaz and the song and him being great. And by the way, I love him. It's now 80-1 for him to win a Cy Young Award. You know, look at his numbers. Just phenomenal. If you have a Alcantara is going to win 14 games and win the Cy Young, you could consider a guy like Diaz who has twice as many strikeouts as innings. But anyway, Vogelbach, as you said, and here's what gets me crazy. And even the New York reporters, I watch the post-game shows and everything. They're like, nobody wants to say he's fat, Sheck. Nobody wants to say, oh, the fat guy is
incorrect. Hilarious. I've called him fat many times.
No, I know, but I think we were kind of out there with this, but you look at these reporters and they're like, he's just so much fun to watch. Like, yeah, why? Because he's fat. Because that's why. Just go ahead, say it. Just complete the sentence. Why else would he be fun to watch? Just say it. I don't understand why everyone's so afraid. I mean, I think Martin, there's no fat people to make fun of anymore, right? It's just so taboo. Once Martin lost all the weight, it was over.
I guess maybe that was it. Maybe I was just the final straw. But I mean, the thing is, most of the time you make fun of fat people because they're not doing super athletic things. They're being slovenly and like, no, this is a celebration of fat. This is a sign that shows you can be whatever you want to be and eat whatever you want to eat. This all yes. I mean, come on, this guy. I mean, and look at him too. He went from the bottom to the top and playing with the Mets now. Like, this guy. This is a success story.
Great. He's a DH. He gets in there. We see him just enough. He's just so much fun to watch. Why? He's just so much fun.
What is he does it? Have what the Babe Ruth fat guy run. Like, it doesn't look like it's set to the like it's 1.5 times too fast.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't look natural the way he moves. He's a fat guy, coach. But maybe shouldn't we resent him on some level too? Yes, he's to be celebrated because he looks like us, but then also he takes away our excuses of like, well, I would be playing professional sports if I were in better shape.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, now this show off is out there being a plus size professional athlete.
No, Dave, this is an example of representation matters. All fat kids out there now should be able to see him and say, you know what, maybe I don't have to look like Juan Soto to play baseball.
Right. Usually it's an inspiration. Go out there,
but you know what's not inspiring? How, the 2014 Detroit Tigers rotation is playing such a major role in the postseason between Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, and, J.D. Martinez is, there's so many players from that Tigers team that are just sprinkled out. And I'm probably going to bet against one of them today in Anibal Sanchez for my player of the day because he's lost it. But if the Tigers had just kept who they had, they'd be so much better than they are right now.
All-star team out of the former Tigers and former Pirates. Just the
That's
guys
right.
you guys
I was going to say,
right.
you think the darkness is your friend. You only I was born into it.
I mean, so way back to Jason Schmidt Chaz
Garrett
Morton
Cole,
and Garrett
them, sure.
Cole, Jameson Taillon and beyond, Joe Musgrove, so on and so forth. Yeah, it's grotesque.
I think back to Vogelbach for a minute and Martin when he's trying to score from first and he's got a lot of a big head of steam. If you're it's one thing if you're scoring from second or even third on a tag up or something, but taking off from first and getting that and no slowing down, what must the catcher be thinking? He's got to be thinking like, oh, Jesus Christ, relay, shortstop, please just hold on to the ball. Please don't throw it up the line.
Yeah. Throw it up the line.
Yeah,
throw
it
up first baseline so I can dive out of the way, still look like I'm hustling.
Right. Throw it into the broadcast booth. I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah.
This is the summer of fat guys in pro sports when you think, who was the fat point guard that we watched in the NBA playoffs playing prominent?
Kyle Lowry. Okay. Yeah.
So Kyle Lowry, Leonard Fournette shows up fat. Jordan Davis is the belle of social media today for pushing Jason Kelce backwards. He's a big fat guy, and at the top of the fat mountain is your guy Danny Vogelbach. Now,
John Daly hit a ball across the highway or something. He did something interesting for a day. I don't know what he did. Dodgers Padres. We should probably talk about that. 20-4. The Dodgers sweep them. Padres make all these moves. They're scary. Dodgers like, we don't give a shit. We still own you. 20-4 over the weekend and a 3-game sweep. And, you know, I was listening to Hench on Minus Three, and he made all the good points about the Padres lineup and batter for batter. They're better for than the Dodgers, just sticking it, you know, just from what the moves they made. But you got to look at it. And I know this is the year that nobody hits 250. It doesn't matter, right? Except it does matter when you play the Dodgers and go up against pitching like that. The Padres, with all those big names, I think only have two guys 265 and above. And it showed over the weekend. My God, the Dodgers just crushing these teams.
It sure seems like that was their fatal flaw. And it's funny because I was thinking in real time, listening to Kevin Hench on Minus Three, tout the Padres as having great value as a World Series pick. And indeed they are, but obviously they're not going to catch the Dodgers. So now they have to play that series, not a one game, but a series. And I'm with you completely. He's a little over his skis, as many people are, about their Hench? Big three rotation. Hench and a lot of Padres backers now. It's like, that does that really stack up with what the Metropolitans and the Dodgers and otherwise are going to throw out there? I think no.
No, I don't think so either. We went over all the pitchers they would have to maybe go against in a wild card scenario. Yeah, I don't know. It's Darvish, fun. And then I'm going to forget about most of this once football starts. But we should mention Pete Rose made a fool of himself once again. Yeah, I don't care about the play-by-play stuff. They put him in the booth, and he said the word cock and shit. So that's fine. But before the game, what were they doing, Chuck? They were celebrating the 1980 Phillies World Championship. They couldn't do it over COVID, so this was the 40-year reunion, even though it was 42 years. Is it something like that?
I think it was honoring, right. It's a weird thing. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Marty Weiss and the youngsters only associate Peter Rose with the Reds, and secondarily probably the Expos. The Phillies, though, obviously is where he got the ring, and you know, in the vet with Tug McGraw and Schmidt and all those guys. But yeah, I guess I don't know how old the story is, because honestly, I had never heard it. But
it happened 55 years ago, babe.
55 years ago, he slept with a 14-year-old girl.
I mean, he was asked about.
It was too long ago to worry about.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Yeah, he was asked about the 16, maybe 15, maybe 14-year-old girl he slept with in the 70s. And yeah, just like Martin says, he says to the female questioner, says, "That was 55 years ago. Nobody cares, babe." And then he doubled and tripled down and said, "Hey, if you weren't born then, you shouldn't comment on that," as if that's anything to do with like he doesn't comment on anything before he was born. Ridiculous.
No opinions on Mussolini. I wasn't born.
So stupid. Should she have taken? I don't know. Should he have eaten the apple? I don't know. Odds that he makes it into the Hall of Fame during any of our lifetimes. Martin, you're going to live longer, but I still put it at 9-1, plus 900.
Pete Rose will never be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing I associate, he broke the singles record on September 11th. So I was just like, it's just a wild day all around with Pete Rose. But, yeah.
What do you mean he broke it on September? Not the September 11th. Just
no, it was. I don't remember what year. I think it was, but it was the day. It was. I had this when I was a kid. My mom gave me a CD of all of these famous radio calls, and that was on one of the calls. But yeah, but I don't know. What I find fascinating is how does he have that moment pregame and still join the broadcast later?
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's what I mean. Like somebody didn't say, like, you know what? Hey, Pete's running a little hot right now. We might want to scale him back a little bit. Let's just let him get his standing ovation and then sit there and watch a ball game.
Yeah, listen, he's a great A asshole. He just is, and I know a lot of it has to do. You want to say, oh, he's in his 80s now. It's like, no. You know, I wanted to come to his defense a little bit. I read his book, and I actually flew out to Dallas, and I wrote about this in my book to interview him. And I took the position that, you know, all right, I read the book and he's a numbers guy. And I think he was bored being a manager and he's such a numbers guy and he thought he could figure it out. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't bet against his team, whatever. We kind of know that he might have at this point. And when I interviewed him after, by the way, 40 minutes of interviewing him on other shit that no one cared about, I asked him about the gambling. He's like, and he said almost to me exactly what he said to this woman yesterday. He's like, nobody cares about this. This was 35 years ago. Ask me one more question and it will be your last question. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I said, okay, do you think we'll ever hang out? And then he throws the microphone off, and that was it. I figured if I had one more question, that was going to be it. But hey, Pete, don't worry about what people want to hear, okay? Because I did, you gave me 20 minutes on your double A time in Utica, New York, which I'm sure no one gave a shit about. And you wrote about this in your book. So he's just an asshole. What are you going to do? That's just how it is with him. And I don't think, I don't think he gets in the Hall of Fame. Certainly the people in place right now are not going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, he got to that place where the old timers get to, like Cliff Branch. It's a shame that he didn't get in while he was still alive, and you feel that lament. But he's now gone past that point, and now, like, who's going to be his advocate in 25 years? Like, you know, right. There's not going to be anyone walking the big blue marble who's gonna tout him. Barry Bonds mm-hmm. has a much better chance, I would say. But you know what? I'm sorry. Quick detour. Old Manning cast. You see my hands. I didn't Google it or anything. But let's go back and forth, Sal. I'll do the Phillies. Bob Boone at catcher. Pete Rose at first. Manny Trio at second. Larry Boa at short. Schmidt at third. Gary Maddux in center. Luzenski in left. And in right, Bake.
Was Maddux in center? Maddux was in center for those 78 when they battled the Dodgers. Was he in center all the way through 90?
I think he was, yeah. I remember him. I'm pretty sure he caught the final out in the Astrodome of the NLCS.
Darren Dalton, the catcher?
No.
That's oh, am I going Dalton. Too far?
No, Bob Boone. Yeah, Bob Boone.
Oh, you're Boone. Oh, right. Oh, 80. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong.
80. Okay, yeah. Porter 80, right. Behind the dish, I think, gotcha. For the Royals. Brett. At third,
Martin this is fell the most asleep here. UL Washington.
I'm looking it up to see if you guys are right.
UL with the toothpick. No UL Washington UL for the Washington. Kids out there.
Yeah,
had a toothpick in his mouth while he played shortstop in the major leagues. He would dive around and he would turn double plays, jumping over people with a toothpick in his mouth.
It. Very cool. But Freddie Patek was at second, or was
no?
Was he at short? Am
Frank
I
White.
Way off? Oh, Frank White at second.
UL Washington at short.
Willie Mays Akins at first.
Willie Mays Akins, yeah, the big slugger at first. Willie Wilson in center. And then the
Amos
two,
Otis.
That sounds right.
Left, and who'd we say in right? Gorman Thompson? No.
No, it wouldn't
right?
have been Gorman.
No.
All right, who?
I can't figure
who
it out.
Who closed it out? Who was the closer to, and who was the last at bat? You guys
Tug,
said one of them.
Tug was.
Tug McGraw. Yeah.
Yep.
And what I remember
out.
From that top of the ninth.
Who
did
he strike out? Who did he strike out, Martin? Who
Dave just said his name
Frank
just a
White.
Second ago. Nope.
Willie Wilson.
Yep.
What Willie I remember Wilson. Most from that
set a
top
world,
of the
he set
ninth.
A World Series record striking out 12 times in six games.
Oh I my hated God. That
I thought
Phillies
he was a contact
team.
Hitter. That's a leadoff hitter, too, right? Wow.
I hated that Phillies team because I'm a Pittsburgh guy and there was a rivalry between sure. the two Pennsylvania teams at the time. Yeah. But what I remember was the first or second out is Bob Boone goes over to catch a pop foul by the first base dugout, and it hits his glove and falls out, and Pete Rose is standing
drops
next to him.
Rose's
and
Rose's glove. Yeah.
Right, and he catches it and then spikes the ball like he would always do off
the
turf.
The spiking thing. Oh, once he got introduced to turf, that was it. All right, still an asshole and not making the Hall of Fame, I don't think. But – what is making the Hall of Fame? Our play of the day. Oh boy, these picks are we caught lightning in a bottle here. Now I lost. Martin lost. Check one with his football pick. You had the Raiders. What was
first
it Thursday night?
Quarter.
The Raiders to win the first quarter.
Yeah.
Good job by you. That Half Jaguars point. Team. Whatever team they put out there just looked horrific until the very last drive. And I watched every bit of it because I had the under in the game, which miraculously held on, even though it was 20-0 at half. It held on until the last drive. So I don't know. Maybe I should stop betting football. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not good at this. But
what did I tell you? Did I get it right or did I get it right? I told you baseball fat. I ran out of gas. It's football season. This is going to be glorious. I'm batting 1,000. Well, that's all a right. baseball reference.
Yeah,
but I'm batting
on.
1,000 this football season, everybody.
Your extra points are at 100%. ratio. Yeah. All right. I'm going to check. We have the same game. I'm on the Mariners Yankees over 7.5. I don't know what the hell's going off these Yankees, but these two teams played last week. They scored 9, 14, and 10 runs in the three games. Gilbert on the hill for Seattle, 5 1/3, 6 earned runs last week against the Yanks. Talion, 4 2/3, 5 earned runs against Seattle last week. I think the bats stay lively. I don't know why this is so low, but I'm not going to read into it too much. I think it'll be 4-4 at some point. I'm going over. Sheck, I think you like the over also, and you're taking the Yankees to snap out of this funk.
Yeah, all right. Well, then next, I guess you spoiled everything I had
sorry.
To say.
Okay, what else? Go ahead. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. And for what it's worth, the Yanks haven't been great. The Mariners, since the break, have beaten up on bad teams. The Yanks don't count as a bad team. Mm-hmm. But I do like Tyone, not great again. You know, the pitching matchup indicates that, based on what we just saw a week ago, that the lineups have the edge on both starting pitchers there.
Yeah.
I don't expect to see either guy last and past, let's say, 6 innings. I think go over, and I think the Yanks get off the schneid here.
All right.
That was Mark a longer Weiss. Version of what you just said, but yes.
Speaking of I'm surprised after how Castillo had ran through them the few times that the Reds that he pitched against them. I'm really surprised that they went for Montas instead of making sure they really got Luis Castillo, the Yankees. But I'm going to bet against Aníbal Sánchez, one of those members of the Detroit Tigers rotation who's not necessarily having the success as his Tiger career has ended. He's got a 7.65 ERA. The over for this game is 7.5. I'm going to go ahead and take the over. And I'm taking the over, and I'm parlaying it with the money line with the Cubs. And I'm also taking -1.5. I'm all over Chicago Cubs today because, again, Aníbal Sánchez, not good, pitching for a bad team.
This is, so Cubs 43-64, Tigers 43-67. Wow. Those are big cities, Sheck. This team shouldn't be that bad. I don't know what's going on. That's
get us the football. If Marty's betting on bum teams, what are we doing? Come on.
By the way, I meant to bring this up last week or a month ago, but you brought up ERA, Martin, and I almost think they should change it because it's based on 9 innings, and pitchers don't go 9 innings. Starting pitchers, they go 4.5 innings. So the ERA should be based on 4.5. And isn't that going to give you why do we have to do the calculation in our head? Like, this guy gives up 5.5 runs every 9 innings. Like, okay, but he's not going to pitch 9 innings. He's going to pitch 4 2/3. So what am I looking at here in terms of an over-under for betting and something else? Am I right, Sheck? Or do we need to make that conversion, or can they do that for us?
It makes a ton of sense. It's funny how irrelevant the stats that everybody leaned on for, 100 years are now kind of moot in general and have been replaced by newfangled ones. Yeah, I think you're right, because it never has it been as bad as it is now in terms of the lack of complete games and otherwise. Yeah, it's funny. Every day I get duped by exactly what you're talking about. I look at and see what the two starting pitchers combined ERA is and kind of evaluate that with the total set on the game, and it's like, what are we really looking at? Like, pitchers who go 5 and 5 and a third inning, like it does impact the way you bet a little bit.
Yeah, let's look at their bullpen as much as anything else for the ERA, because they're going to be featured just as almost equally. Yeah, I mean, batting average is a calculation.
Damn it. I think Aníbal Sánchez is going to give up at least 5 runs today. How about that?
Well, that's how we end up getting tricked into looking at it. Like, his ERA is 5. He's going to give up 5 in the 5 innings he pitches, but okay, great. Bet every over at that point, but problem is
I got a football question for you, Sal. Talking about 5, one of my future bets that I laid a couple on your
team.
Now,
you were in Vegas this weekend. Yeah, let's hear about it.
Yes. Over 5 interceptions for Trayvon Diggs.
Ooh. You know, I read a depressing stat that doesn't bode well for the Cowboys defense or any defense that boasts a lot of interceptions. And the Cowboys, I think, top 3 in interceptions. The stat basically indicated that the following year, this team defensively falls apart to an extent. And I think the conclusion is that interceptions are lucky for the most part. I'd love to get 5. What did he have last year? 11? What did he have?
I know he had 10 through like the first 10 weeks of the season.
I get the press because it's Deion Sanders, I feel, was like all over the place and earned most of his interceptions. Diggs, like everything else, could be tip ball or whatever. Sheck, what do you think of that? It does kind of make sense.
There are guys who, over the course of a career, are ball-hawking sorts, and Deion Sanders is strange. Rod Woodson is another one, probably. But you don't see high-end 21st century cover corners with a ton of interceptions, and it makes sense that that offenses just steer away from that guy. And so, Diggs, people were talking about that by midseason last year, that, yes, he's high risk, so you throw in his direction, he picks it or gets smoked. It kind of is the two result, sort of like a baseball slugger. He's either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. That's kind of what Diggs is, I guess, as a cover corner.
Yeah, you look at – go ahead, Martin. So you went over.
I'm taking the over there, and I'm taking an over for another one of your guys.
Go ahead. Who?
Michael Parsons over 11.5 sacks. Mm, we're talking about fat guys earlier. There's not a lot of fat guys that can stay in front of Michael Parsons, who is decidedly not a fat guy.
Right.
And if they set him down there on the line, if they really just, have him rush the passer, I think 11.5 is, you might be sitting, he might have, like Diggs' interception run last year, we had 10 through 10 games, finished with 11, could see Michael Parsons having 10 sacks through 10 games.
I like that better. I like that bet better. I was actually looking at this the other day as I did my research. The best... the best defensive players, the best cornerbacks typically are around 4 or 5 interceptions. You look at James Bradbury, Darius Leonard, he's a linebacker and he was hurt. Jalen Ramsey had 4, Bradbury had 4, Xavien Howard had 5. So 11 is very fluky, but I'm going to be rooting for you. I, for one, will be rooting for you.
You would think it would be safeties more, ball-hawking, speedy.
Yeah, right.
Safeties ranging around back there. You would think somebody like that would be more inclined because, the Diggs is – they're throwing in his direction for a reason. It's because he –
Micah Hyde had 6. Yeah. Quandre Diggs had 5. I'm looking at safeties, all the big ones. It's just tough. I guess where the balls get tipped more is
– I guess, but isn't it weird now that you mention it, that given, how much NFL teams throw the ball compared to 25 years ago, that nobody has really I guess Diggs did challenge it, but I remember back to, was it 1980 when Lester the Molester Hayes had, what did he have, 11, 12, something like that, maybe even 13. I know he picked 6 Snake Stabler in the wild card round. I remember that one. Yeah. But anyway, it's weird that you don't see that. Shouldn't there be more individual interception totals challenging history?
Probably.
Well,
all right.
You got the Cowboys got Daniel Jones twice, Carson Wentz twice, Jared Goff, Justin Fields, Davis Mills, and Ryan Tannehill, and then Jalen Hurts twice. So I feel it's not exactly a murderer's row.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go over this Daniel Jones thing because some Daniel Jones news or footage came out this weekend, and I know Eddie Spaghetti is not depressed, but depressed about the reaction of people in general. But let's take a quick break and then we'll talk NFL. All right, I teased it right before that quick break. There's tape out of Danny Dimes missing a wide receiver badly. Didn't seem like he was under pressure and just threw it out of bounds. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Let's hear your take on it. I know it's going to probably be who gives a shit. This is just an isolated play.
Yes.
In August practice.
Yes, exactly. It's the equivalent of caring about baseball and the doldrums of the summer. It's just, it's very dumb. It doesn't, they also tell you as fans and whatever, when you show up, to not record any of these practices for these kind of reasons. I'm sure if we went to all 32 teams, we see some pretty awful plays. I know Lombardi tweeted out sign Jimmy G. Well, number one, they can't have no money to do that. That's not going to happen. And number two, he's throwing the ball away in a practice. I know the Giants offense has been great this camp, but it's barely August when this happened. I'm not going to get upset over it. Daniel Jones is not going to be a Pro Bowler, but he's going to be fine. He's going to be what the Giants need to do this year, and it's just a play in practice. We have to stop overreacting to stuff like this.
Is this the equivalent of, you go to a lot of comedy shows, don't record the comic on stage just in case he bombs? You don't want those jokes out there? You think it's kind of the same thing?
It's partially that. It's partially to do with showing formation and stuff to other teams who clearly could watch. This stems from the Spygate sort of thing. So, this play unfortunately leaked out. It wasn't great. And then also, again, saying to sign Jimmy G, it's this guy misses open receivers. This cost his team a Super Bowl for literally missing his receivers. So I don't think that's really the upgrade the Giants need.
All right. Well, listen, again, go ahead, Mark.
I was about to say, this kind of is like, it's obviously the reverse Tua, where it's like, I mean, like, as soon as you're hanging on for one good thing, but like, I don't necessarily have a problem with the guy missing somebody when it's like, you got a new offense you're setting in there. Like, you're trying to figure, you got a new head coaching staff. Like, this is the Pro Football Focus. Like, did the guy run the wrong route? Did the quarterback make a bad throw? I feel like this is more acceptable. Like, you can figure this out. If it's, like Eddie said, if this is happening in September, then that's a bigger issue. I wouldn't, but like, if Daniel Jones had like not missed a wide receiver badly and just hit him in stride all week, I wouldn't be like, this is not news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who gives a shit? It's the first week of August. It's an out route that even, I don't know if he intentionally threw it that. Who got, what difference does it make? It may,
right, maybe could have no. Here's what difference it makes. It gives. I'm glad it happened because it gives us an opportunity to dive into his player prop situation.
I love
here,
it.
Right?
Can
right,
we bet on if he's the starting quarterback in 2023? Because that's the prop that intrigues me with the Giants.
Well, oh, in 2023.
Yeah. What's your bet before you issue the more the here and now bets?
I'm going to say yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I think he makes it. I hate myself for this. I'm usually way down on the Giants. I don't know. I don't think they're going to win 10 games, but I think they're going to go. I'll put it out there. I think they're going to get 7 or 8 wins, which I know is right around their over under. I think I have them at 8 and 9. And I think Daniel Jones is fine this year. His over under touchdown passes is 22.5. His over under passing yards is 34.49.5. I'll go. You know I don't like overs. And by the way, Sheck, what bush league it was? You giving out all those overs and player props?
I can't help it. I wanted to join you.
Oh
my
God!
Intellectually, on -3. So on extra points last week, Sal tells us, you know, the classic, the guy who goes to the craps table and bets don't pass line and is a curmudgeon. I agree with him betting the unders on all skill position guys on their season totals because guys are going to get hurt when they're running into each other on purpose. I agree with it intellectually. I sat down to pour through them and try to figure out which ones I like best, and I kept finding ones I liked over.
It just went over.
I can't help it. I have a sunny disposition. What can I tell
you? This is not don't pass. This is betting don't pass if the guy rolling the dice rears back and tears his ACL rolling the dice and comes up craps every time. Like, this is there's something to go up, especially running backs. But I'll tell you what, I'm making an exception here with the quarterbacks. You won't see me take many overs. Spaghetti, I'm going over 22.5, and it's for the same reason Martin gave out. Panthers, Bears, Jags, Seahawks, Texans, Lions. Giants have a lot of winnable games, a lot of suspect secondaries out there. I know he missed some games, so historically looking back might be pointless, but he had 24 in 2019. Galladay, Kadarius Toney, is Shepard starting on PUP? I think, is that what's going on?
Shepard's still dealing with an injury. They also did draft Wandale Robinson in the second round, too, so a lot of weapons there.
Everybody likes their draft picks. This kid out of Kentucky is a second-round receiver. 22.5 is 1.3 a game. Come on. I know Spaghetti and Piacenti approve. I heard him on waiver wire. I'm going over 22.5. A rare over you'll hear me take with these player props. Go ahead, Martin. What do you like?
I want over passing yards. Okay. I feel like he finishes just short of 4,000 and makes that question, is he the starter next season, that much harder. Because if he goes under these numbers, I feel like the answer is going to be no. He's not going to be he may be in there, but they're going to try to move on and try to figure out that position. But I'm going to go over passing yards. I think he probably finishes in between somewhere between 36,000, 38,000. Or 38,000.
Wow. I'll take that bet. Yeah. Oh my God. I hope you didn't bet that in Vegas.
I did take some other unders though while we were on the subject. Yeah. I'm not like Dave. I tried to go with the South.
I want to be with betting. You, Marty. I know you're right. I understand that. I can't help it. I'm an optimist. I'm glass half full. You know
Let
that.
Let me hear, Martin. I hope they're running backs because they go down like flies. Go ahead.
Well,
what is it?
Christian McCaffrey, rushing receiving yards, under 1,550.
Yeah.
I'm taking under there. And then Myles Garrett, sacks under 13.5. And then Aaron Rodgers, under 4,100 passing yards.
All right. Okay, look, I love all the others.
Without Devontae Adams.
I love them all. But Shaq, so. this for a guy who's supposed to start all season long, these are pitiful over-under numbers.
I agree.
34-49 for a pro quarterback in 2022 who's supposed to play every game. God, what do you
right.
think?
Much has been made of Daboll likes to throw the ball around. Witness what right. he did in Buffalo. I think the best coaches understand that they have to bend to where the talent that they have out there. I suspect Daboll will do that. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, I'm going to stand by it. Just, I mean, doesn't he need to get a break already? I mean, is he just always going to get hurt at some point? I know Spaghetti's like, oh, it's overstated that Saquon's injury prone. He's injury prone to this point in his career. But at some point, he's got to catch a break, contract year, all that. That said, so I'm going over Saquon's totals. But also, to your point, Sal, that's the 34-49 in pass yards in 17 games is like, it's reading it as though he is, you know, has a pretty close pass run split or something like that. I just don't.
Right.
That's bad. And is Tyrod Taylor, I mean, like, where would the Giants need to be for the coaching staff to say, like, yeah, it's enough with Dimes. Let's go with Tyrod. You get nothing out of making that move unless you're kind of borderline in contention for a playoff spot, right?
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm looking
like, what would make them sit Dimes down? And I can't really figure
out
what.
You'd have to get hurt.
Yeah, aside from an injury. I mean, I'm looking. Taylor Heinicke had 34-19. There's 18 players who had better than 34-50. So it would make sense. He's not the 19th best quarterback. Daniel Dimes probably is further down the list. But for God's sakes, give him a full year. He should have to eclipse 34-50 somewhere in there. There you go. So that's it. So I don't know, Spaghetti, worse than the video footage of him throwing that ball out of bounds, I think this is worse news for you that the three of us are betting Danny Dimes over props.
I do like the over on the props. Like, Sal, you just mentioned me and Jen were talking about this on waiver wired. And I do think from just Daboll's style with the amount of receivers they have, I think he's going to have to throw the ball, especially because this guy's betting on himself. They don't have the fifth-year option, which is why that question you guys brought up, is he going to be the Giants quarterback next year, is pretty interesting because I'm with you, Sal. Like, if they win 79 games, they're not going to be in the market for drafting one of the top. They're not going to get, you know, Bryce Young. There's too many other bad teams like the Seahawks, for example, that are going to be in that mix, the Texans potentially. So, like, what do the Giants do? Do you give Jones another contract if he's kind of underwhelming, or you just trade a massive amount of picks to get to the number one spot? So it's going to be interesting, but I definitely think that he's going to throw the ball a lot in this offense with these receivers they have. So this is a proven year for him and probably his last year as a Giant.
All right.
Give me your 1-2-3-4, Sal. Give me your 1-2-3-4 in the division. Yeah. I'll tell you, -3.
Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Commanders, or whatever they're called.
Oh, really? You think Commies in last place?
Yeah, yes. Seven. They struggle to get seven, I think. Yeah.
Huh. All right. I am intrigued as ever by the NFC East. I am getting close to maybe going against the Cowboys. I'm dipping in now. We have our text chain with our mutual pal, Jeff Schwartz, who's one of the few human beings who can actually talk about offensive line play. I feel like the Cowboys' offensive line, it's one of those things that we've just for a decade now assumed. Hey, what position of strength? I don't know if it's a position of strength.
Oh, it's not good. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's
the
not.
Idea
no,
but that, like, the Cowboys. It's funny.
I think I feel the same way. You should probably feel the same way about the Steelers' defense. Like, everyone automatically puts them in the top three when they were last in the league. I'm not just saying this because you brought up my Cowboys, but they're last in the league against the run. They have some blue chippers out there. They have a guy who could be defensive player of the year every year, right? They have Watt, they have Fitzpatrick, they have Hayward. They got all those guys. But as a unit, you know, and the Cowboys the same way. It's like, hey, Lake Collins, all gone. All these guys are gone. The guys you raved about for years are in their mid-30s. So it's going to be tough, that offensive line to hold. But my big reason with these teams that really righted the ship on paper, the Eagles, the Chargers, all of them, if you look at free agent pickups and draft and everything else, they couldn't do anything wrong. It doesn't always add up. And it certainly doesn't add up if there's still a question mark at the guy taking the snaps. That's the only thing I'm banking on with the Eagles coming in second in the division.
It's fair, but I also think that to the point that we're both making, I think that it's a slow turn for division foes. Like, the reason I'm down on the Chiefs this year, and Kevin Hench is down on the Chiefs as well, -3 is all on, not necessarily all in on any team. I'm a Chargers guy at this point in that division. But the rest of the AFC West has kind of not just upgraded, but they've upgraded specifically to take away what the Chiefs want to do. And I feel like, I mean, that pass rush in Washington, if they're healthy this year, and in Philly, like, I don't know.
That's a question mark, right? Washington's defense went from one of the best to one of the worst. So which one shows up, right, in 2022?
The defensive line just disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not really healthy to start the season. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, going to be exciting. Real quick, guys, Hall of Fame. I didn't catch a lot of the festivities. Every time I turned it on, someone was speaking about cancer. And I was like, I just can't do this right now. But next year, pick one. Obviously, more than one could go. Darrell Revis, Andre Johnson, Dwight Freeney, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, Torrey Holt. Boy, we've had a few of those on right here on Extra Points. We've talked to a few of those fellas. Pick one, Martin. Who do you think goes?
My heart says Revis, just from, I remember watching him as a kid thinking that he was the best cornerback in the league, and that's why he was able to be like the mercenary that he was up until he lost it. But my mind says Joe Thomas, because he's still front-facing and played for so long for such a bad team that people are going to want to reward him in some way.
I'm with you. If I have to pick one name, it's Joe Thomas. He played all 167 games before torn tricep ended it all. I think he holds the record. He has the unofficial record for consecutive snaps, 10,363 and 10 Pro Bowls. I feel like he did more than you could ask of anybody at that position. Sheck, which way are you going?
Well, first of all, the ongoing glut at wide receiver is only going to get worse. Yeah. Reggie Wayne still has to get in. It's looking like Hines Ward just is never going to get in, and at least in the next 15, 20 years. Torrey Holt belongs in. It's crazy.
Let's get our guy Torrey Holt in. Yeah,
Andre Johnson has to go. It's all loco, but I think you just hit on, like, if I had the bet on one guy definitely getting in, it's Joe Thomas this year. And it's it just is so unsatisfying to me. Nothing against him, but who the hell knows anything about who's a good offensive lineman? As I always will tell you, it is the most pretentious thing that football fans talk about. It's like, oh, that guy, dominant left tackle. What the hell do you know?
Well, you can't put a metric on it, right? You know, 2,000-yard season is great for a running back, but you don't know what a good record is, you know, for a lineman other than, you know, sacks allowed. But consecutive snaps played for a guy who we see every four games a left tackle go down. 10,363.
There are so many. Here's Dave getting up on Mount Pius to condescend to people. This ongoing now, it's, you know, you could see it coming a mile away, and it's arrived now in the last 2 years or so. Aaron Donald, the greatest defensive player in pro football history, maybe. But the debate about that casual football fans have, like, oh, yeah, best ever, AD 99. Like, you don't know what the hell you're even talking about. You sit and watch tape, and without the counsel of the analyst on TV or otherwise, you just rando football fans are divining that's the best defensive tackle I've ever seen.
I don't buy it. People are focused on their fantasy players, and that's it. I mean, it is true.
Don't know what you're even talking about, shooting your mouth off who you think is the best.
Martin, don't shoot your mouth off. He's talking to you. I don't know why.
Man, you know what? Kyle Lowry might be talking to us right now.
No.
It just came across the wire. Kyle Lowry on being called thick. It used to bother me a lot. It used to get to me. It used to really get to me. And I'm like, wow.
We didn't.
But have you seen Vogelbach? Yeah, he's like, yes.
Is
get
he
off
on
my
the
back.
Zoom? What is going on here? All right.
I don't know that it just came across the wire. That and Jameis Winston had an ankle injury, which they're being tended to right now.
So that sucks.
On the verge of tears.
That sucks. He's my long shot MVP. That's not good. Verge of tears. And Tucker
I don't want another season like we've had here. Like if I have to hear Taysom Hill may play quarterback ever again, something drastic may occur.
Don't worry about it, babe.
All right, babe. That was a good hour. It felt like 55 years. I want to remind everyone, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.